Hello, welcome to episode 5, I think, of whatever this is, podcast. We just came out of the theater and watched a brilliant film.
Called Love, Simon.
A great movie about being yourself. And
oh, yeah.
It's basically a memoir to everyone who's struggling and feels ostracized in any sort of way.
But first, we have to do intros first.
I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the message of the film first. But
Okay, we can do that then, intros.
Okay, synopsis. Simon is a boy about to graduate in high school. Has a neat friend group.
And a
nice family. Really cool. Dad. Played by Josh Neumel. Simon is played by Nick Robinson, who I think looks like Ansel Elgort for some reason.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah,
and then Jennifer Gardner played an awesome mom in this as well. His friend group is played by Catherine Langford. Let's see, who else? Alexandria Shipp, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Where?
Go back. There you go.
Oh, George Ledenberg Jr.
Jorge Ledenberg Jr.
Yeah. So, pretty much, there's two, I think, major stars in Jennifer Gardner and Josh Duhamel, which he hasn't done anything pretty much since Transformers. Nick Robinson, I don't know, what has he done? He played Zach in Jurassic World.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah, remember they get in the ball and...
Yeah.
Yep, that kid. So that's out of nowhere. And then, some of these actors are from TV. Tony Hale plays a vice principal, and he's from Arrested Development. He's known for Arrested Development. He's been on Veep, numerous films like American Ultra, which I enjoyed. A lot of people didn't enjoy. But, so this is basically a coming-of-age story, but through the eyes of a closeted gay boy in high school. And there's not many of them out there.
No, there isn't.
Especially comparatively to... just straight coming of age stories. And I think this is one of the most like refreshing coming of age stories ever since I think probably Ferris Bueller's Day Off, to be honest. Especially the cinematography, the score was vibrant and went along with the beats, and just everything felt genuine and from a good place. I think.
Oh, but don't forget, we have to do intros first. We haven't done that.
Intros?
Yeah, us. Auden, obviously. Oh. Can't believe I haven't noticed.
Sorry, I was just interested in the movie.
I know. You're on a roll and I didn't want to stop you.
Sorry. All right. So, a person who's been talking into the recorder this long, this is Alex.
And I'm Michael. All
right.
There we go. We have the intros. I'm all happy. Right. We can continue.
And we're done with the podcast.
No, we're not. All right. Liar.
So, we've pretty much given most of everything, the intro part.
Yes, but you have to keep divulging in, though.
That's true. Any other notable cast members, you think?
Yes, there is one in particular.
Who?
The guy that plays Bram and Love, Simon. He plays Uriah in the Divergent series.
His name is Kenyon Lonsdale?
Yes.
He's been in Flash...
Yep, and Supergirl.
And Supergirl, Insurgent, Finest Hours, a couple TV series.
Yep.
But Love, Simon is directed by Greg Berlanti. He's kind of all over the map. He's produced The Flash and pretty much all the superhero movies. Series on CW Network.
Which also explains why a few of the stars in the movie are also appeared in Flash and Supergirl. Oh, yeah,
that does make sense. Mm-hmm. He kind of pulled the talent from them. What else? He's written the Oscars.
The 2015
Oscars. Jinx. He hasn't really directed much. Nope. He's directed one TV miniseries. He's directed a movie called Life as We Know It, which was pretty much wasn't scored very highly with the critics, but he's done mostly comedic works, it seems like, with his directing. Written mostly superhero TV series on the CW. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Green Lantern.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, we'll excuse him for that.
Yeah, besides, Ryan Reynolds is better at Deadpool anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, we all make mistakes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll let him be there.
Yep, Ryan Reynolds will always be Deadpool in our hearts.
Yeah, and I think he wants that too, so.
Oh, yeah, he's been a very good Deadpool so far.
And the writers, there's three writers. Elizabeth Berger. I'm not sure on her pronunciation on the last name, but she's got an Emmy nominee for Outstanding Drama Series for Prime. No, Outstanding Drama Series for This Is Us. So
nice.
That new series that everyone pretty much raves about. She produced it, it looks like, and not sure if she wrote it, but produced it for sure. Yeah, so mostly producing stuff, and a lot of TV work. And then the other writer, let's see, Isaac Aptaker, pretty much the same thing. He worked with the other writer on This Is Us and pretty much all the other works she has done. So, and then obviously it's an adaptation from the book. Is it called Simon versus the Homo?
Yeah, Love, Simon versus the Homo Sapiens.
Sapiens Agenda?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, so,
or
yeah.
Homosexual Agenda. What, either one of those two.
Yeah, and that's written by Becky Albertalli? Is
yep.
that the author? Okay.
Albertalli, I believe so, yes.
Okay, so, yeah. And this kind of makes me want to read the book.
Same here.
And it is really cool how they took, you know, while you're reading a book, you always have those thoughts that go introspective mm-hmm. during the story.
Yeah.
And this one was really refreshing in that, right? It played out his thoughts in a cool way.
Yeah.
And that's just one aspect that's really awesome about this movie.
And also the fact that there were a lot of people that went to see the movie other than two of us.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was good. There's a good energy in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not just because of the subject matter, that was because how it was portrayed in the movie itself mm-hmm. too. Everything was pretty much lined up in a succinct way. You kind of felt the repetition and the comfortability he was kind of easing himself into in the beginning, but he was still had that itching feeling inside that he didn't know how to, you know, say it to anyone.
But when an anonymous person by the codename Blue posted that about coming out as gay, Simon got inspired by him, and they've been emailing each other mm-hmm. left and right, and Simon got even more curious on who Blue's true identity was.
Right.
And, well, there was a little bit of chaos along the way, here and there. Friendships were tested, family relationships, and all that. But it turned out well in the end, because, you know, Simon got the guy.
Yep. And I don't think that's too much of a spoiler.
No.
And yeah, so I feel like we should have added that to the synopsis in the beginning, but
yeah, we kind of
So yeah, he goes through high school like anyone else does, but he's got the itching feeling. And there's basically a big blog along with Twitter and all this other stuff. That keeps the students busy. They go through there and kind of put their rumors and everything mm-hmm. that they're thinking.
Yeah.
And it's cool because the vice president, played by Tony Hale, I believe, he kind of he's kind of a cheesy guy, and he like takes the phones away from the students, and he
reminds me of the vice principal in Ned's the Classified School Smart
right
guy.
He comes in and he really doesn't take anything seriously.
But he's still funny.
Yeah, and then so as Michael said, his email thread got released.
Yep.
And
automatically outing Simon.
Yep. By someone who wanted one of his friends in a relationship.
Yep, and he blackmailed Simon into helping.
And yeah, that's not how you do your friends, but
no, definitely not.
That's what happened. Any like acting performances that stood out to you? I really like Josh Duhamel.
I liked all of the acting, to be honest, because mostly that movie kind of hits me personally, because that was practically how it happened with me, but differently. Because, you know, since it was a coming out story and I'm a gay guy myself, so I can speak to heart of how Simon was feeling and how he struggled and all that, because in reality, that I was kind of like Simon in a way, except when he found out when he was 13 or he was
13.
I was probably around the same age when I found out that I was gay too. The only problem is he was in high school when that happened. I happened to figure it out during the transition from 8th grade into high school.
How did you feel about like his like awakening, how it was presented, how he's like infatuated with what was it, Harry Potter? Who plays Harry Potter?
David Radcliffe.
Yeah, David.
Oh, Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Sorry.
He said he like woke up and had a dream, and then went back to sleep, woke up, had a dream.
Well, to be honest, it kind of felt almost exactly what happened to me, except it did not happen with Daniel Radcliffe. So sorry, but that did not happen with me. But kind of the self-discovery, it really, it was, the awakening was kind of like what exactly what happened to me, except I didn't have any girlfriends back then. I wasn't interested in girls either way, but and like the first person I came out to was my mom, and she told me that she knew when I like when I was in diapers or when I could walk or when I was born or something like that. She knew in a heartbeat. And mostly because the reason I didn't come out to my friends, or well, I didn't until recent, well, because, you know, I switched Facebook, saying, you know, showed preferred men, of course, over women, but hey, who
Facebook
really pays?
Is official.
I know.
Facebook official, yeah.
Yeah, but who really focuses on that stuff anyway?
No, no one.
Anyway, mainly the real reason that I haven't told most of my friends back in high school is mainly because it would be the same reasons for Simon, what he feared when he came out to his friends. You know, stuff, they would look at him differently, they might shun him. That's almost like the same reason why I didn't come out to the rest of my family, because, you know, afraid of rejection, disownment, even though that actually did happen senior year of high school, by the way. Oh well, but who cares? Anyway, but there was a time that when, in the movie, that Simon's mom, you know, by the time he figured the whole thing happened, she gave him a good pep talk saying that they still love you and all that. It was because, you know, the only one that should listen to you right now, or saying that this I'm still you. It was kind of the talk that they had was kind of the way how my grandfather talked to me after, you know, hearing about my disownment from my dad after graduating high school, the day or two after that, by the way. He told me that it was his loss that I'm still with me, and well, or and there are other stuff too, but but it's been a long time since that happened. And my grandfather, he rarely shows that much emotion that much. He doesn't really say all that soft and touchy moments, according to what my mom said. Like, he mostly is dry, maybe a little sarcastic.
Yeah.
I don't know, something around that. He rarely shows any type of emotions like that. So the fact that he told me that, according to my mom, was like really a special, rare moment. Which in a good way, of course, because, you know, that was him. But
so how did you feel about like Josh Duhamel's like personality and how he handled Simon coming out?
I wish my dad was like that.
Yeah, and I think that points to how this film presented as a not only as a kind of a nuanced process. There's a two-part party, you know, there's two parts to the conversation, and not only do the people coming out, they need to believe in themselves, and the other side, they need to understand how crazy it feels to them, and how much pressure they're undergoing.
Yeah, because I felt a lot of pressure from my dad when I was a kid into a teenager, because he was one of four siblings back then, and he was the youngest of three boys, you know, because I had a sister, and one brother was, I think, still a bachelor, and the other son, or the other brother, had daughters, and he would always try to keep putting pressure on me, saying I should get a wife, I should have sons or kids and all that, and keep the family line or family name continuing and all that, which gave me tons of pressure, which made me fear rejection from him the most, because other than being religious, he still thinks about the family line continuing down to the next generation.
That's,
or
like,
something like that.
Yeah, that's old school. That's like primitive speak. That's like, oh, I need, I don't know. That's like kings. Like, oh, I want my son to carry on the kingdom. I don't know. That's just old school. And I don't know. We're past that. It's not too late to change.
I think he once told me, but please do not quote me on this, because he said that my line, or his family's line, is like rare or special or some weird reason, like maybe like nobility or something.
Okay.
Or something around that line of importance.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of weird.
Well, then again,
I could probably not be remembering it correctly.
That's fine. But like, even if he stresses importance on the your whole family, it shouldn't usurp your importance, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that goes to anyone with the same situation or something similar. So yeah, this is a great movie for going through all that. It might not be like the all you know, the one step process, watch this movie and oh, I got it figured out, but it's a good step. Even if like taking your family to understand that part of the discussion. It's a cool movie for anyone to go to. What else?
I highly doubt people will be interested in my personal life.
No, of course they will. Because we all have something to pull from.
True.
And you have an interesting side of it that is obviously similar to this. So.
Yeah, except for Simon, because you know, most of his family is still okay. I mean, some of my family is all right with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some more than others. But yeah, mostly the main reason for not coming out was mainly because of fear of rejection from family and friends. That's why I kept my mouth shut most of the time. Like, the only way I was able to come out officially was when I came here to App, because the only one else came, none of my friends that I went to high school with, they didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe one or two or three people that they know me, but I could start over with a clean slate, because since nobody knew me, I could start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was able to get more open with up here than I was down back in high school, because of I didn't have to worry about close bonds being destroyed and tarnished right in front of me.
And Simon went through that too. He said he wanted to wait until he went to college and felt like he was in his own bubble, kind of, and he didn't have the pressure of other people that he knew. Yeah. And that kind of does suck that you have to feel that much pressure about the people that you knew the longest instead of the people that you just met. But yeah, to your point, it is important to see both sides and to both have a dialogue, and it's a cool character moment when the father, Josh Duhamel, plays. At first he kind of freaks out and he doesn't know, but towards the denouement of the film, he finally accepts it, and even though he kind of has this image of his son in his head, he's okay with saying, you're still you, and I love you for it. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
And they handle that moment well in the film, and they kind of placed it in the story kind of perfectly to wrap it up.
Yep, and of course, Simon finds out who Blue's right identity is, but we're not going to tell you who it is.
Of course not, no.
Because that'd be the ultimate spoiler.
Yeah.
What's the point of actually knowing or going to the movie if you know who actually won?
Right.
But I am jealous of Simon, that's for sure. He got the guy in the end.
You'll find someone.
hope so.
But yeah, this film had kind of branching narratives that some people will say, oh, it's kind of discombobulated maybe, that it doesn't really have focus and the tone's kind of all over the place. I wouldn't say that at all.
No, definitely not. It was one tracked.
Yeah.
In a good way, of course.
Everything kind of integrated back to Simon, and sometimes it felt like it was kind of slapping him in the face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of to the point where this is still kind of a nuanced thing, especially whenever you're going through high school. Your emotions are kind of all over the place, even whenever you're 20. But imagine whenever you were back in, you know, high school and you were like 17.
Yeah, deja vu reminiscence.
Yeah, and you thought you were doing the right thing, but you were sort of kind of being selfish in a way. You still have to understand there's other people in your life, and they're just as important to your story as they are to you. So I think that was a good message too.
Oh yes. Now the grade. Unless you want to add any more information to
I think
you.
I could go on all day on
that,
this one.
Believe me, I can go all night if I wanted to on this. The music choice. Want to go with the music next?
Sure. I love the music. Yes. It didn't really have, I don't know. It was kind of just intertwined with the moments perfectly. It didn't have like a individual quality that you'd say, oh, this is rap and I can like distinctly say it's rap or distinctly say blah, blah, blah. It was just perfect the way they wrote into the moments.
I love the fact that it's not focused on one specific genre. It's just like something you would listen to on an iPod if it's shuffled.
Right.
It felt so nice to hop from one genre to the next, especially when Simon was using records with playing the music.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it wouldn't just be like a score, and the score itself was more about the mood instead of cool music.
Yeah.
The I don't know what you call it. As an editing term, I forgot it, but it's whenever, you know, you put in the song that they're playing on screen out to the audience.
Yes.
I thought those moments were integrated pretty much brilliantly too. What else?
Now, I'm probably going off kilter here, but if you've seen The Perks of Being a Wallflower, this movie is kind of like that in a way.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen Perks of a Wallflower, you should probably watch it, because even though the main character isn't gay, the kind of the story is kind of molding in together.
Okay.
That's starring Emma Watson in that one, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Without
the long hair.
Yeah. Oh.
She has short hair in this one, in that one.
What's what would you say it's different with this one?
It's not really entirely that different. Now that I think about it. Because both movies are based on books, of course. Let's see, what else? They have a point of view from maybe someone that's socially awkward. For Simon's because of his sexuality, but for the main character, well, you know, starting with a new school, he most like his best like in the trailer, he's saying that he's has a good relationship with one of his teachers. You know, like a good role model type. He's not because he's a social butterfly, I guess, because he's very, very introverted. Doesn't really have that many friends. But sure, both movies may be a bit different, but to me, it really reminds me of both of them. You'll have to see parts of Being a Wallflower to understand what I mean.
I would say, I mean, this generally is coming of age story, and most coming of age stories we've seen so many times that we would say, hey, this is similar to that movie or that movie.
Yep.
But there, like I said, there hasn't been many gay coming of age stories, and in that regard, this could be like a fresh start, and the first time anything happens, it's not going to be like super original and super refreshing. Mm-hmm. But I think the way they worked around maybe the trite narrative we've seen over and over in these coming of age stories,
yep,
was unique. The way they handled the moments and the grounded nature in each of the characters, and the passion, I think, behind the camera and within the script, maybe. Everyone seemed to care about this movie.
I know I certainly did.
Yeah, and that obviously came around to the audience in that, yeah, they felt empathy for the characters and they cared.
Not to mention the people that were watching the movie with us were cheering and applauding.
Exactly, yeah.
So in other words, you know it's a good movie if the audience, other viewers besides us, are cheering and applauding for specific scenes. And also there were a few laugh moments too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the tone was handled very well.
Very carefree.
I think I laughed, or at least chuckled, at every moment that was intended to be funny. And it wasn't just like, oh, this is millennials humor, and like it didn't feel like an old person writing millennial humor.
No.
It felt like relatable, and relatable. So you could laugh and understand the point they're coming across with. Because sometimes, you know, some filmmakers will go in and, oh, millennials, they'll find this one funny because they like the Snapchats and the Facebooks and all that stuff. But,
oh, yes. And also asking about video and exploring advice too.
Yeah, and from like even like a meta perspective, they put in Tony Hales. I forgot his name again. But the vice principal in the yes. movie, he's kind of that character where he's like, he's acting like the old man, trying to be relatable to the younger kids in this.
And also the dad also for asking video advice.
I guess so.
Especially when he for Simon and for assisting him in the 20-year anniversary present for his wife.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could say, if you were nitpicking really hard,
please don't be.
I don't know. Would you say any character wasn't developed too much? Or got left behind, maybe?
I can't think of any at the top of my head.
Yeah. I would say maybe some characters didn't have a huge arc, and you would say, oh, they're not as developed fully. But I would say the main story is always going to go back to Simon, and that was the main push of the story.
Yeah. He was the central focus the entire time of length of the movie.
But still, in and of itself, there's still arcs that the side characters are going through.
Mm-hmm.
They just might they might not feel as deep as Simon.
Yes.
But that doesn't make it any less impactful. Like the father, he pretty much went to A to B, point A to point B in his arc, saying, oh, I'm... He was pretty much ignorant of the feelings that Simon was going through, and then at the end he was accepting.
Mm-hmm.
That would be his arc.
Yeah.
The mother, pretty much the same.
The sister?
Same.
Yeah.
But his friends, rather, I mean, they I would say they had more impactful arcs on their own.
Yep.
Especially whenever that kind of fork in the road happens and his emails get leaked.
Yes.
That really brings everything around and their characters open up a lot more. And you learn a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a good moment in the film.
Yeah. All right. Now for possible grading.
Possible.
Well, I can start for mine.
Do we do everything?
Well, I think we did.
We did acting.
Check.
Music.
Check.
Directing.
Check.
What was your favorite moment from the film?
All of it.
All of it?
Yes. Because most of it's all relatable for me. You know that.
That's true. Did you like the Ferris wheel moment?
Yes. That was very good impact.
Well, executed.
Yep. Remind me to do that on a Ferris wheel. Maybe someone might find me on top of the Ferris wheel.
I think my favorite moments were him talking through his thoughts and it showing on screen, kind of them acting out. Like every time he would see a person on his phone.
He always thinking that's Blue. Yeah. And also for a Game of Thrones reference. Because, you know, talk about Jon Snow in Game of Thrones.
And it, yeah, it makes it grounded in that way. Because everyone sometimes has those thoughts where they're like, oh, this kind of revolves around me. So everything kind of pops up in front of you. So I thought that was really cool. And it was kind of had this cool effect where it was kind of cloudy on the thought process. Those moments were kind of my favorite. And everything Josh Duhamel did. I don't know why. But, yeah, he played this likable character where he's kind of holding back his emotions, but he couldn't.
Yeah. And he's such a big softy.
Yeah, but he kind of acted like he had this austerity where he's like an old school.
Stone face.
Yeah. Had this, like, he was an old school quarterback star. Yeah. But, you know, he had the soft heart in the end. So that was cool. And that shows you really need someone like that on the other side.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I guess now we should probably start with the grades.
I guess so. I kind of just don't want to end talking about it, but okay.
Believe me, I don't want to either. I don't want to end it either. I would rather just go back in there and watch it some more.
Is this your favorite movie of the year?
So far, yes. The movie was good. The actors was great. The sound, the score was good. Not to mention the movie was very relatable to me, and it helped a good general audience, which is why I personally will give that movie a 10, and I wouldn't mind seeing it more than once.
A 10?
Yes, I would give it a 10.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's probably going to be maybe one of the few movies that I would give a solid 10. I wish I could, wish a higher grade would be available so I would give a higher rating, but a 10 will be just fine with me.
I think I'm going to give it a slightly lower. Just on the notice that I feel like there's more to come in these movies.
Yeah.
And they will bring a different, unique take on the story that we haven't seen before.
True.
Even though you can't do super original stuff with this, because with coming of age, it's pretty much like the maturation of the story. It's A to B. It's growing up. And this, it's going to be finding a way to come out to someone.
Well, there are other LGBT films out there, you know, other than that one.
There are more. But they're not, I'm talking about bringing it to the mainstream and putting out in wide release.
True.
You're right, there is a lot of really neat indie LGBT movies out there that people should watch. Yeah.
I might get that one for a third.
Yeah, but this is a good start for mainstream audiences to kick back and maybe... find a spot to watch the other indie movies.
Well, there have been some film festivals with the LGBT movies in them. There have been some.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they haven't been wide released like this one is.
Ah, right. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to give it like a 9.5 out of 10. So it's pretty much my favorite movie of the year so far.
And, mine too.
Even better than Shape of Water, which is crazy.
Yes. Even better for me for it than Game Night and Red Sparrow.
I haven't seen those, but apparently. Definitely better than Gringo.
Yes, infinitely better than Gringo.
If you're thinking about watching Gringo...
Please don't.
Stumble your way into Love, Simon on accident, but please. Do it on purpose.
Please.
I think... would you recommend this movie?
Yes.
That seems like
we all do. And please get it on DVD, too, when it comes out, because that's what I'm going to be doing.
All right. Any concluding thoughts?
Probably read the book too.
Oh, read the book. Cool. Reading's fun.
Of course. Reading's always fun. It's addiction. Other than hot sauce, that reading's like my addiction.
I guess it's one of the better addictions to have. Reading.
It's much better than anything else I can think of.
I wouldn't say I'm addicted, but it's fun. All right. So, thanks for listening. Subscribe if you haven't to. or if you haven't,
or find the page on Facebook.
Find the page on Facebook. Yep, that's it. See you next week.
Or maybe sooner. Who knows?
Or maybe sooner. We'll see.
All depends.
Yeah, we might go see something tomorrow.
Yes, or we could be talking about that documentary that you show that you both watch differently times, of course, but that's beside the point.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you for listening.
Thank you.